When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What do you have, boys? Hello and welcome to Tales with TR, episode 200B, featuring my guest today, number 44 overall, the Western, or in the World Hockey Association, to the Minnesota Fighting Saints in 1972, and of course, recurring guest on Spittin' Chicklets.
44th overall by the Minnesota North Stars. Get that in.
Oh, wait, the Minnesota North Stars, I meant to say.
What
did you go in the WHA?
You know something? You that year, know. They brought in the WHA draft the next year. So what they did, because the league was starting, it was like the Wild West. You signed who you if you had an in with the lawyer or whatever, then the lawyer worked out the best deal.
Wow, okay.
No one was owned by anyone. The next year, my buddy that I played with in Hamilton, Bob Neely, went number one to the Cougars, but he ended up signing with the Toronto Maple Leafs because
he went
number number 10, but they gave him the same deal, $250,000, 5 years, number one,
which was unreal back then. But listen, okay, so for those who don't know, I think most of you do, if you've heard me or especially me and Senior on here talk about it, but Senior went 44th overall, sorry, in the NHL draft, which today would make you a second rounder. And back, like, high in the second round, actually, in
considering before the draft, Toronto Maple Leafs told me they're.
Yeah, I know, but wait, I knew we were getting into a side story.
Yeah.
I knew we would get. So I never really asked you where you went in the WHA draft. And okay,
yeah, no,
so that's
no
the answer. So what ended up happening, again, I know you'll, because I got other questions to ask you. You don't need to hear it 5,000 times.
Yeah.
But for those, a small percentage of you that don't know, he picked the WHA because it was more money and more attractive
more
everything for at the time. And
schooling, education, everything.
And ended up leading the league in shorthanders. So, and which is a great story in itself. If you're interested, they'll go back and watch the Chicklets Cup videos or the first couple of times I had Senior on. You can just look at it on your, whatever your platform is. Search for it, because we do talk about it in depth more than once. So we're going to move on. Senior, we got, I got to go get Penny Lane. So I'd say we got 30 or 40 minutes.
All right, fine. Shoot.
And I just tried to, you know what? I wrote out some. I get often people commenting and sending in messages, so I wrote out some that other people have asked.
Yeah.
Okay. So one guy said, we were back and forth, and this guy wanted to know about New York athletes, and he was interested in the Islanders. Yeah. So I said, well, I can't really comment, or Senior can't comment on the NHL aspect of this, but Denny Potvin was...
And we joked from Ottawa, two of those guys I knew.
Oh, yeah. So this, when I brought up Potvin, and I forget, yeah. sorry, listener, I yeah. forget your name. I get so many messages and comments. I often forget. And by the way, side note, just please do it on Twitter from now on, guys. My Instagram, my Facebook, all those things are jammed. Like I can't possibly answer any more messages on there. Go through Twitter. Make it easy. So this gent, I think your name is Carl, but he asked me, Senior, about Denny Potvin, and he said he didn't know much about him.
Oh,
and I said, well, I mean, he's one of the great Ds. He does kind of get lost in the shuffle historically.
He does.
Why?
I think he's ranked in the top 10,
but
I think maybe number 7.
No one would bring it up, though. He would be the one guy now that someone say in 2024,
right.
young or old or whatever, a lot of people...
Cups.
Yeah, four cups, and so and
number
people
one,
would pass right over him.
He's the absolute epitome of a number one. He's what you picture a number. Well, you look up hit number of goals. I'd say maybe 370, 100 well, points about six times.
And as a D, so what? And in junior, he was playing junior young, right? Obviously,
he started playing for the Ottawa 67s when he's 14.
So when he and I know without going through the story that he knocked out.
Remember that his stats. Would have been so much better. But in my day, you couldn't get drafted till you were 20 years old. And Ken Linsman got, it's called the Ken Linsman rule. He took the NHL to court. They won. So that's how they draft now at 18.
What do you mean he took the NHL to court? About what?
Well because Linsman's parents, I forget what number Linsman went. He may have gone number one. But they said, wait a minute. The law says if my son is 18, he's eligible to work, to turn professional. And up till then, it was 20. So Perreault and all these guys lost 2 years. He took them to court and won. That's why it became 18.
Well, look at this. Look at this. Potvin played 1, 2, 3, 4. So 6 years of junior, I'm guessing that
yes.
first year he's 14.
Yes.
And his final year, defense, 61 games played, 35 yes. goals, 88 assists, 123 points, and 232
yes.
minutes.
Well, he put me in hospital.
That is,
look at 71-72 the last year I played against him, because I played against him 3 years.
48 games, 60 points, 188 minutes.
There you go. Oh, yeah, he was a killer.
And that's the year that he...
He put me in the Ottawa General, I told you, concussion.
Cross-check your teeth out.
Well, he did that at another time, but this was in the playoffs, and he caught me in the train tracks, and... Wow, I finished the game, can barely remember it because I was a real gamer, and I went in the dressing room at the end of the game and collapsed.
I wonder, you know what? I bet you I could probably get hold of him at some point now.
And he'd certainly know who I was.
Well, I'd love to have him on the pod just to tell him about it.
Well, two of my buddies from Grand Falls played with him. Terry French, who ended up going 25th overall. Donnie House played for the LA Kings, so... And I knew him. I talked to him after a game because the boys would call me over.
How rare is that, too? 6 years junior, same team.
Yeah.
And then NHL, 15 years, same team.
How
Two
many
teams
goals?
His whole career.
How many goals, NHL? I said 370.
310.
Okay. 900 points, almost a point a game.
1,052 points. Well, he did. He had a point. So in 1,060 games, he was 1,052.
There you
so
go.
8 points under. And what I love, 1,356
yes.
minutes.
Oh, he'd kill you.
Six times over 100.
I tell a story.
His rookie year, 175,
yes.
54 points. This
yes.
guy was a menace. But it's senior. No one. People even.
They don't.
Now, I'm
they never
not,
hear his name.
The weird thing, when I say that.
And it's really wrong, too.
When I say that, it's not just people. I'm not saying it's like a young Gen X or a Gen Z thing. Because even them, like if I was to talk to people that are younger now that have podcasts, they'd put like Larry Robinson there. Like they don't forget, but it's somehow Potvin gets left out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
people know who Larry Robinson, they talk about Doug Harvey.
Yeah, they do.
But I'm like, how the fuck do you forget Potvin in that mix?
Yeah, he doesn't even get mentioned.
Doesn't get mentioned.
No.
Yet in like the hockey news, he'll be like the 11th best player ever. It's just weird.
Ever, yeah, let alone defense.
I know. Yeah.
No, he's a great player. He was the one thing I'll interject here a little bit. Of course, in junior, his last 2 years, mm-hmm. I played against him 3 years, but was my draft year. He was 1 year behind me. So he basically played that last year in a rocking chair because he had no, you could see he had no inspiration. It was like, what the fuck am I doing here? And then the next year he goes number one because you had to be 20. So what I'm saying, he lost 2 years with people today where number ones usually get. So put those points on his total points and goals. So in 2 years, say he plays 70 games, he's going to get an extra 50 goals.
Yeah.
Which put him at 360.
Three Norris trophies in the Calder.
Yes. Three Norris. I mean, who else not to be three? Sniffed at.
I mean, who's the best D in the game today? Probably doesn't have three Norrises. Well, Makar, but he probably will end up getting that. But does Doughty even have that? Like, who's older that, like, three Norrises is a lot.
No, Potvin was a great player,
Scott,
man.
Did Scott Niedermeyer even get three Norrises? Like, I'm trying to think. There can't be that many players who have that. And that's not a six-team league. He's playing
it would be a good guess that 21 Niedermeyer did because he was so good. But I'm not saying any more than three.
I'm surprised. I got to look it up. I got to look. Well, who do you – okay, you know
Niedermeyer
what?
Had a lot of good defense when playing in his day. McGinnis, Ifrady, not quite in his league. But, you know, he had
he won one.
Just one.
I'm really surprised. But again, Lidstrom's on the go and everything during that too, right?
And Robinson was still there too.
Larry Robinson wasn't there when...
I thought he was.
No, I think he got it. He was out before I played, man. Niedermeyer's a couple years older than me.
Oh, I agree. I thought Niedermeyer... Yeah, I thought he's around 50.
Pronger was playing.
Pronger.
Yeah. Right there.
Pronger definitely got one or two.
Pronger should definitely have that many.
Yeah.
Wait, let's see. Senior, most Norris trophies, I would think Bobby Orr, even though he played a... How would you not give it to Orr every year? When
I think Orr won six. He only played 8 years because his legs gave out.
Bobby Orr. Hey, listen to this. Listen to this. You wonder? This is another Gretzky-like stat.
Yes.
Like, did you see the other night? It was like five players ever have had 100 assists.
Yeah.
But they all did it once. Gretzky did it 11 times. Yeah. Not twice.
No, I know.
Not even like four times.
Yeah, I can be persuaded. Now, my day, like I say, I always said... Orr was the greatest ever, but I could be persuaded because of the stats alone.
It's hard to compare greatness like that, though.
It is. Like different generations.
Do you think of Orr, Howe, Gretzky, and Lemieux? They're all so different. It's hard to compare. The only two that you can really compare are Lemieux and Gretzky,
well,
and they played
Orr's
together. And
defenseman too.
That's what I mean.
So you're comparing apples
and
oranges, literally.
8 years in a row, the Norris. Not six of them.
I thought it was six.
He had eight. And they were all right in a row.
Yeah.
Look at this. Mom's calling again. Now she knows. Now, Mom, you know I'm on the air, right? You're aware of that. Well, you knew he was coming up at... Well, it's 1:13. It's no problem. Yeah. Okay, I'll let you know after. She's looking for Pettigrew's phone number. My good buddy that had a heart attack. He's good. He skated for the first time the other day, 3 months off.
Yeah.
Of all the people to have a heart attack.
I know.
I mean, that guy, look, he's
not an ounce
in good, not any weight. He lives healthy. He skates three times a week. I skate with him. He's a lawyer, meaning he just had a kid. I think it's hereditary. When I say he's a lawyer and he had a kid, I mean, he's in a happy place. You know, being a lawyer takes a lot of schooling.
I didn't know there was heart problems in his family. That's all.
Yeah, there were.
Okay.
Not a lot, but now he can look for it. Sometimes. I'm not saying, like, he had it on the ice, and it's a good thing they had the pumps there and they had a paramedic.
Yeah.
But now he'll take, like, Shark have one. Like, now they'll take care of themselves better,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
The Bruins lead all teams with 14 Norris Trophy winners. Imagine that.
Eddie Shore.
Hey, when I said Nicklas Lidstrom was in the way, Lidstrom got seven and Doug Harvey. Seven.
No, I thought Lidstrom.
In a 30-team league.
I said four.
Seven. Fuck.
No, Lidstrom's in the top four defenseman now. You can't. I don't think anyone will put him in front of Orr, but he's now being talked about in front of Robinson, which I would have thought inconceivable, because Robinson to me was number two.
But as you get
as an overall defenseman, Lidstrom gave you nothing physically.
I know,
but now he was so good offensively. But Robinson gave you 70 to 80 points a year. 100 to 150 minutes, took on the toughest in the league, would put you out with a body check. Overall, I'd still take Robinson. Because
Lidstrom,
it's not like Robinson gave you 30 points. He gave you 60, 70, 80.
Yeah, I can
I'll guarantee you he did.
Bork, too. Forgot Bork.
Yeah, well, not better than Robinson.
Coffee.
Well,
three. Coffee got three. Coffee won it in 1995. Man, he must have been about 38.
On Coffee's skating ability, I'd...
Coffee had 49 snipes one year. Nearly 50.
I knew that. I'm trying to think, who would I take, Bork or Coffee? Coffee gave you nothing physically, right? And Bork did.
I know. Now, listen, Coffee's one thing to give, but Lidstrom was good defensively.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
I think maybe even better. I hate to say better than Coffee, but Coffee wasn't thinking defense ever, really.
No, ever.
Right? But
that's why overall you'd probably take Lidstrom.
I got no argument with Lidstrom being as far up as behind Orr.
Okay, there's an argument.
Well, I'm just saying.
There's an argument.
An argument.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
pick him over Robinson.
Another guy underrated.
Overall, Robinson gave you more.
Another guy I'm going to put up, not as underrated as Potvin, but nobody.
Chris Pronger hasn't even come into the picture. Chris Pronger.
Rod Langway.
No.
Two Norris trophies.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. But
two, based on defense.
He's the one guy that won it on defense. Of all of them, and Robinson would have been the best defensively.
He won two of them.
I would have picked him behind all those other guys.
Hey, another guy we didn't bring up. I'm looking right now. Just from in the 10-year span, got three Norris trophies. Amongst all of those guys, who did we forget? Now, we forgot Brian Leetch. He's got two.
I don't think he goes up,
but this guy has to be talked about up there. And we didn't even bring him up. And he's right around. It's like he's wedged in between each Coffee, Bork, Chris Chelios.
No.
You got to put him up there, though.
He would, but I wouldn't put him in front of any of those guys.
Well, I wouldn't put him in front of Lidstrom or Bork.
Certainly durability. He had durability. I don't count when he's playing at 47 because...
Yeah, I don't count that either. But he still was a contributor.
How good was he when he was up, we'll say, to the last championships or whatever? Was he just...
I'll tell you this, man.
Did he play minutes?
I played one game against him that I remember. And then I sat there and I was in Montreal while they had the 96 World Cup.
Yeah, he's highly regarded.
Guys used our room, right? So we were down and we'd shoot the shit because we'd come in and get skated. And then Team USA and Team Canada used our room and the adjacent room.
Yeah.
So they were always around.
Yeah.
And Chelios knew half our team because Corson was there. And everything.
Yeah.
So then anyway, I met him and he seemed like a great guy. But outside of that, I don't know, man. The only person I've seen more ruthless in the front of the net is Pronger.
Oh, yeah. No.
He was fucking ruthless.
Chelios was ruthless.
Whack! Like an axe.
That gives you a different regard to game.
Man.
Even more so than Robinson. And Robinson was...
Cross-check and whack. Yeah. I was like, man. And it wasn't like... I played against him. I don't remember.
Chelios,
I think it was exhibition.
You. Robinson, yeah, but everything he did was sort of clean, but it was hard clean. I never see him two-handed guys cross the ankles.
Yeah.
But Chelios would do it to hurt you. Yeah. You wouldn't want to go in front of the net.
Name me two underrated pitchers in the MLB. This is another question I was asked, and I said it's probably a better one for my dad. No, not now. Now I can't keep track.
Right off the bat,
historically,
he jumps out.
Historically.
And I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I know he didn't play long enough, but his stats are right up there with Sandy Koufax's. Ron Guidry.
Lightning. Okay.
Gator.
Ron Guidry.
25-3, 1.72.
He's the guy with the Yankees,
the best
right?
Best in history, left-hander.
Lefty
Sandy
with the
Koufax,
Yankees.
Yeah. Louisiana Lightning, because he's from Louisiana. 25-3, 1.72, and Koufax had 25-6. 1.70. Basically the same number of games. Koufax 160 and 80.
Are you telling me Guidry's not in the Hall of Fame?
Not in the Hall of Fame.
What a weird thing. Now, what's going to happen now with Ohtani and his fucking translator with the $4 million?
Well, I mean, that's an investigation. Let's see what happens when it comes out. Pete Rose's comment? Dr. Rose,
but that's why I kind of asked.
He said, if I had Ohtani's interpreter, he said, I'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
25 years ago.
If you can just shove it off on that. Well, that's an embarrassment,
he'd be,
too.
He'd be making the
imagine, he never bet on the very game, and he's not in the Hall. Anyway, guys, I don't have time to get into Pete Rose, but
That's
another show.
You met him at Cincy. I wish I had.
I met him. I had a conversation with him. We retired his number because baseball wouldn't.
And then I watched his...
sat on our bench all game.
He's a great guy. I'm just going by interviews and
he's a really
YouTube
nice guy.
And all that. Yeah,
he couldn't have been more. He sat in our room shooting the shit. And when his time was come, he could have left after the first. He stayed the whole game, sat in there. Yeah. I got a picture down, as you know.
Because he loves athletes. He loves being
like we were showering, and it was like, okay, Pete's like, it's time. You want to go? No. Waited, sat there. We were having beers, listening to him. He was telling stories more than anything.
And he loved to tell
stories. He had a legit smile on his face.
Yeah.
Gave us a hug, not a shake. Thanks, guys. He really appreciated that we retired his jersey.
He did. And it was hockey, too. You gave him an insight also, you know. But I don't know how anyone with the most hits, who never did dope, who never did anything, is not into hockey. He's going to go in, but he's going to be dead. It's unfortunate.
Dead.
He's not, you know, he's...
It's incredible. It's incredible that they haven't come around to it now.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, I don't want to get way into the whole, because this is another show, but someone was asking me about Roger Clemens. Now, he played for your Yankees. He played for the Jays. He got the Cy Young with the Jays.
He did.
But there's all that steroid thing.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing with steroids where I am. Andy Pettit said it well. And he came out one year and he just said, look, I did it because a lot of people are doing it. I got a family. I'm putting money on the table. I could get a lot more money.
Yeah.
And he goes, I felt that I'm going into competition with people.
If I'm given a vote, they're not getting my vote.
I know, but what I'm saying, Pettit came out and admitted it and then came back and had a couple of good years.
Yes.
And it's almost like you're going to admit it.
About it. But because Bonds and Clemens.
Well, I don't like when you're not. And Rodriguez, going so far.
He's a total phony.
He's the worst of all of them.
Oh, he's the worst.
How the fuck is he on TV?
I know.
How is that guy on TV?
An absolute con man.
Yeah.
Who was supremely skilled, who never had to do anything of what he did, but his greed and his need for attention, his narcissistic qualities just made him do it.
And I'll never, you know, when people chime in on what happens in the dressing room, I have no say in that, so I normally don't, but I've got from a Major League Baseball player, a real good one that would know, said that Rodriguez would get to the field with an eight-person entourage. He had his own little side thing.
Yeah,
he didn't associate with.
No,
I'm not saying ever.
That. I knew that.
But most games, he was on his own. He came
apparently
in.
Apparently, hung out with a lot of shady guys too.
Well, I again that
I read that from
that might be speculation, but I've got from an MLB player that was right there.
Yeah, I saw it.
Said one that played on a lot of MLB teams that has a lot of connections. Said, you know, he just said, look, I can't comment. Maybe he's a great guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like that to me. But he said, all I know is that he was on his own. And
He didn't mix with guys.
And even when they – didn't they win it, him and Jeter playing together?
Yeah, he did win. He got one.
He was like Jeter was legit in the room, like a good
– yes.
You know, good team guy.
Yeah.
And Rodriguez wouldn't admit it. I know, but
no.
But Alex, you were getting shot with a needle in the ass.
Yeah,
but they told me it was vitamin C.
Exactly, yeah.
But then you got bigger and you started to hit – now, again, that's a whole nother argument. You're on the side that none of them should be in, right?
Well, put it this way. They're not getting in. If you're not putting Rose in, they're not getting in.
No, I'm definitely with you there. I think what I would do, because there's so much fogginess around it.
With Bonds and Clemens.
They would have been anyway.
They would have been. Up until they started, Bonds had three MVPs.
Yeah.
Clemens had four or five Cy Youngs. So I could almost be weaseled because they already had built up Hall of Fame stats.
But there are guys, Sammy Sosa, hello.
Oh, no, never, ever. Never, ever.
Yeah.
Another guy has never admitted it. At least McGuire admitted it.
Yeah, and McGuire's now and part of the game. Yeah.
He took the shame, and he like a man. Sosa.
And again, McGuire had wicked stats before that, not like Bonds,
and
but they were still winning World Series.
But,
yeah.
But McGuire,
but he said the same. He said other people were.
Yeah,
I'm there. I'm looking at other people do it. If you're going to admit it, there's a level of I can respect that and admit
but
it.
It's the money too, guys.
Yeah.
Guys, we're getting. Can you imagine? I'm playing and you're on my team and I know you're doing it and your contract comes up.
I know.
One guy they always go back to. They always go back to and they didn't prove that he got juiced. There's a guy by the name of Brady Anderson, lead off for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah,
never
I know
hit
Brady Anderson.
More than 18 home runs. Yeah. Never. all of a sudden he went 18-52 back to 19. Or
yeah, yeah.
19.
There's a couple of those guys.
It's like it was so obvious.
Yeah, I know.
But they never, his name is never guaranteed. Like it didn't come out with that big investigation, but you just look at the stat and say something went on.
It's, yeah. The one player out of all of it that I don't care about most of it, but I do like Clemens. I like his combative nature.
I would have loved to have played with him.
I love when he threw it at guys. I remember,
yeah, totally.
Remember when he got that bat and threw it back in the playoffs?
Totally. You threw at one of my guys. The other team just went, oh, Jesus, no. Because
yeah.
You know that he's, if you're one of the best guys in that team, you're getting dunked.
Imagine coming up.
You're getting dunked.
Imagine coming up knowing that Clemens is throwing it at your head.
It. You know you're getting it.
Oh, yeah. It's just like.
And you got it.
A bad situation. Yeah. And if you decide to go to the mound, you're going to get shit kicked.
Absolutely.
Right? Like
absolutely.
Nolan Ryan.
Yeah. I love Rocket Roger. I did.
Yeah. They were their mentality was similar. I watched the whole. Did you ever see the YouTube thing on Nolan Ryan?
Yes.
I don't know where it first came
yes.
from, but it often just comes up on YouTube.
Yes.
So I watched it. It was over an hour. Oh, God.
The guy who charged him out, Robin.
Robin Ventura, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Robin Ventura and Nolan Ryan got him in a headlock and just gave
and
him
wait.
Six straight to the face.
I remember watching that highlight.
Because baseball, Terry, they fight, but they don't.
What I forgot. Until then was that Nolan Ryan was 45 when that happened.
Yes.
He was 45 years old.
Total anomaly, though. He was
anomaly.
Just,
and threw his last no-hitter that year.
Yeah.
So
and still threw at 95.
And, like, it's funny because now, if he came in now, everybody that loves analytics would never allow that because they would think that he'd throw out his arm. But some people don't throw out their arm. Roy Halladay loved to play the full game, right?
Yeah.
There's another guy. That's recent history.
Yes.
But now it's just how many times do you see a shared no-hitter? How do you take a guy out in the sixth when he's got a no-hitter?
But kids growing up with that don't see anything wrong with it. Someone like me, it's just a backdoor in.
If you're a paid fan, I'm not only paying.
I want to see
to watch the World Series,
the full game.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, is the only goal for the team I'm watching? Sometimes people fly in from out of town. Half
yes.
the building
yes.
doesn't go to many games. Let me see a no-hitter. It's bizarre to me unless a guy has a problem. And if you can't do it, that's different. If the player takes it, but, you know, what's his name? Kershaw never would say boo. Last year they took him out in the seventh with a no-hitter. And I know it, and he just said, well, you know, sometimes it has to happen because he's not that. But I'm like, it would bother me.
That's what I don't like.
I got to go six
Kershaw.
More batters.
I don't.
He's not really, Clemens. He's
I'm
not really Clemens like, or Ryan.
I'm an American League fan, and any time I hate the Boston Red Sox. I'm a Yankee fan, but when they got into World Series, I cheered for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
And the thing about Kershaw is, like, he's always going to say the right thing. And sometimes, you know, when he should say something different, like, maybe I wish he had kept me
obviously.
Longer or whatever.
Yeah. There's a level. You got to be
and
a little bit upset.
I have respect for that.
I know. There's something to be said for it. For sure. And that was the year, a few years ago. I think Bumgarner's done now, right?
Yeah, he's done now.
Remember they were battling? And
yes.
Kershaw would have better stats, but he'd get up. And you know what?
But Bumgarner would win World Series.
He would. And side note, good hitter. Bumgarner
yeah,
was a good hitter.
Absolutely. Hit home runs, yeah.
Yeah, he was. He hit like 1 year, three something. You're only getting up there so much.
Yeah, he was.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Speaking of that, I don't know, other than Babe Ruth, the most seamless transition. People are asking me this, so this was my question a while ago, like the success story in baseball of people that change positions, like Brent Burns in hockey. It came up due to the Brent Burns situation. He came in as a forward, then he won another guy, won the Norris.
I just learned something. I didn't know he came up as a forward.
Forward?
No, I didn't know.
And won the Norris Trophy. He can play either.
I knew he was a big pick. Yeah. First rounder.
Big, but I don't think in junior his MO was playing both.
I did not know, okay.
But he's a forward that went back, like Matthew Dandino.
Did he come in the OHL or West WHL? Because I doubt if he came out of the Quebec League. Because
He definitely didn't come out of the Quebec. Yeah. I'm going to guess the dub. Let's see. Remember the guy my age? I went to World Junior Camp with Matthew Dandino. I do alumni.
Same thing, yeah.
And he went back.
I knew he went and was a, because you know why, Terry? He was a great skater.
He was.
Dandino was better than good. He was great.
That's why he could do it. They put him with, he goes.
And the guy in baseball is a Rick Ankiel.
That's the guy I was going to say.
Yeah, pitcher became a center fielder.
Rick Ankiel. Oh, Brampton OHL for Burns.
Okay. No, immediately I knew. And he became a good offensive player. Yeah. Ankiel did.
Ankiel, and if you're listening to this, there's a game where he throws like seven wild pitches.
Yeah, that was it.
It was almost like Alek Manoah syndrome. Like he was good, and then all of a sudden he couldn't put it together.
Glass.
It was over. It was over. And he goes in, and this guy became an outfielder and was a good outfielder.
Yeah.
Like a
center fielder, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and could like try by really good defensively, but hit like 20 home runs one year.
Yeah.
And became it's a great story because it's as if it's no different than if Alek Manoah did it now. It's the same circumstance. How about that guy, senior? He just forgot how to pitch.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
He just forgot how to pitch.
Yeah, he did.
This is a guy not with Tommy John. Yeah, he's not coming back.
Fortunately, the Blue Jays signed him to about a 7-year contract. I think he's on a big one, isn't he?
What do you do?
You're stuck.
Did you see his numbers from the, like, he played a game yesterday against single-A players?
I know. Yeah.
1 2/3. Two hit batters.
Yeah.
Four walks.
Eight over the back.
Five hits.
Yeah.
He just can't pitch anymore.
I know. It's amazing. It's just, and don't tell me he hasn't been to see psychiatrists and psychologists and everything. And just that
it's like, and you almost as an athlete, like I know how you can get down, but that seeped into it. Like when I watched
have you ever heard of Steve Blass?
Yeah, of course. Same thing.
Pittsburgh Pirates World Series. If not the,
but didn't Blass have an injury?
And the next year, no,
no, just fell off.
Same thing.
It's like
he's had a baseball in 3 years. Baseball.
It's like. I hate to laugh, man, because it's not funny. But
he
like
was throwing it over the catcher's head, hitting the backstop,
just
and no, they could they. That's it. 3 years, it's over. From like
just something
one of the main guys to win the World Series for the Pirates to gone,
to can't even play in the minors.
No,
but the hockey player, the goalie at Edmonton, Jack Campbell, like you could just see because he's good, and then it gets in his head, and it's over. It's over. And you see these goals go in, and he's questioning himself.
It's mental.
Now he's in the minors.
Yeah, he can't explain. How are you playing in the minors?
9:30.
Okay, is that the guy they sent down?
He
had the job at the beginning of the year.
They signed him to $5 million last year. He was an all-star in Toronto. They traded him out. Same thing in Toronto towards the end. Like, when two go in, and it's his fault after the game, he's like, it's all my fault. I don't know why I'm here. He loses it, and it gets way deep in his head.
Unfortunately, the two guys now in Edmonton are playing really well. Skinner's taken over.
And Picard. But Campbell goes
out. Get another chance?
I don't know. But, well,
no one's picking
I think he's
up
a good third option. The thing is, I don't know, because if he goes up, there's pressure on him again. Like now with cameras out of his face, the AHL still has good shooters, like great shooters. If you're a goalie, it's probably the area that is similar.
For sure. 9:30,
and he's
pretty good.
Oh, he's playing really well down there.
9:10 is really good in the NHL. 9:30.
He's picked it up. He went down at first, of course, and the cameras were in his face. Just one second.
I didn't know. All I know is Skinner's won that job.
And I just read the paper. The 9:30. I want to make sure that that's like not in his last two games. Because sometimes they go, oh, he's got a 9:30 in the last couple of games. Now it's 9:21.
Oh, God. That's over a full year.
That's the full year down there.
Yeah. Well,
35 games down there in Bakersfield.
Like,
right? So clearly,
yeah, someone will sign him, but Edmonton are going to have to eat half his contract.
And he's a real nice guy, and you hate to see it happen, right?
But there's always room for goalies, right?
This was another question. Like, this is another podcast, but I might as well ask it. This guy wanted to know which great leader. This is Frank in Philadelphia, by the way. Thanks for your question, Frank. Which great leader was misunderstood? And he meant, because I was
the leader.
Anybody? I was talking about Genghis Khan and how he did a lot of good things that take care of this. If you joined his army, he'd take care of the soldiers' families if they died. He gave everybody an option. Yes, he was.
He did a lot of good things, though.
Well, when he take. Well, I'm saying.
He did a lot of slaughtering.
Well, you hear that, but he gave everybody an option when he went in. I'll slaughter you, but if you want, you can join. That's why his army got so big. You can join or you're dead. Whereas a lot of other people didn't really give that option. I'm just saying. So he is a barbarian, and he also put in like insurance for these people. Like, if you join the army, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take care of the family and everything when you pass away. You're part of
it. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Genghis Khan, I guess.
I know, but I was just reading a thing.
I'm not rushing out to see the latest book on Genghis Khan.
No, but
I want a book on the Mongols, please.
But they took over half the earth.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right, and it's weird because they did it, and then they were almost gone as quick as they did that. But that's it. I just figured he was more of a, like, there was some level of,
well, at least he gave you a chance,
empathy.
Put it that way.
Yeah, he gave you a chance.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could say it about, although, did you see that? Did you see the ones on Netflix, Alexander and Julius Caesar? The Rome stories?
I've seen a lot of them, yeah.
Well, these are pretty good, though. They're docuseries, like, yeah. They're actors, but they go back to the historians.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. A lot of documentaries, yeah.
Yeah, there's just a lot of them leave stuff out that's really important. Like, you know, like, there's layers to this. Like, what Caesar did or Alexander in the end, there's a huge buildup to all that. Right? Like, and Caesar, I didn't realize, took it, either he was the first emperor or he made it, but before that it was a complete democracy. But then a lot of what he did, though, made sense. Right? When he went in, a lot of what he did was for the people.
He made himself a tyrant, yeah, a dictator.
Yeah, he did.
For life.
Like, it's almost like most dictators are waiting for that opportunity.
Yes.
But he really did start with some ideas that were for the people. And then just as time went on, just became, you could just see.
Well, et tu, Brute? That's where it got him.
What's that? What's that mean?
Et tu, Brute?
I forget.
Brutus, when the guy Brutus, stabbed him to death.
But Brutus was.
Supposedly, when he saw him, Brutus was.
Brutus was what's her
name? Politically.
Yeah, he did, but he was someone's. But Brutus's mother was really influential, too.
Yeah, they all.
What was her name?
Women back then were very.
But that's another thing that the Romans had.
They were all power hungry, too, though.
I know, but.
All the emperor's mothers and whatever.
Oh, they were, God. But what I find, again, if you'd look back at any time, it's why now I hate people getting canceled for things they did in the 80s, because it was different.
It was?
I mean, like, fucking, what's his name?
No, but it's just gone over the...
It's gone over the... Everything. Well, everything's extreme. But what I'm saying is that back then, right, there was, even though women still didn't vote and stuff, but in Egypt, in Greek, and in Rome, women had way more, like, it was advanced for that kind of a civilization way back then. Yeah. Civilization, you know, well, Cleopatra, she fucking ran shit. She, like, the queen, she was Queen Cleopatra, right?
Yeah.
And was it Persia?
No, Egypt.
Egypt, which was in Persia, part of Persia.
Well, Persia, more Iran.
I think Egypt was Persia back then.
Ever pictured Egypt being in Persia?
I think it was.
Might have been.
I think at one point.
Persia, I associate with Iran.
Yeah, if you keep going. And that was where the Roman Empire ended, right? They tried to go that far and they...
Well, they did. They killed Ptolemy and...
They killed Ptolemy.
Yeah, and then Mark Antony and Cleopatra committed suicide because Augustus defeated them in the Battle of Salamis in 31 BC. BC.
I know that, but... The Romans they didn't penetrate too far into the Middle East. They tried to, right?
Well, they were into Iraq and Palmyra, and that's in Iraq. They took all those. They have
I didn't realize
over there.
I had no idea that they went into Turkey. Iraq. So from England,
all the
a lot of people don't realize London,
got
England.
Serbia's got that's the Balkans. He was in the Balkans. One of the emperors, I forget his name. My buddy was there.
God, why?
He was in Croatia. And one, boom, the big room, Roman ruins.
How about there's one, Senior, I think this
is... the greatest empire ever, Terry. You have to consider
what they
gave us.
So Caesar, got to watch this documentary for people listening, but Caesar was fucked. He went in and he tried whatever, like they gave him an area to govern and he just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And it was east. It was the other direction that we're talking about. But
well, Caesar became famous.
I know, but I forget this.
He went into Gaul. He went into France.
Okay, wait. Yes, he goes into Gaul, but he was fucked because he was sitting there, and whoever it was, the battle was taking a long time, and he builds a wall around where he was.
Yes.
So he should have been a sitting duck, but the way it went down,
he was a military genius.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Like if, you know, anyway, it's really fascinating. I won't
waste it. That was against Vercingetorix, who was a...
There you go. Forgot.
He won a bunch of battles, and he was coming after, and Caesar was badly outnumbered, I'm pretty
well,
sure.
Well, he built... So but Caesar built a wall around his... around Buddy's, and now they couldn't get any food in. And then...
Starved them out.
Buddy called in the rest of the... So now there's an army coming behind them. But he's got these people hemmed in, but the army's going to come. So then he builds another wall around where he was and ends up deploying the soldiers strategically out of different entrance points and takes everybody down. Like, that part of the story you don't really hear.
He was, I think he's right up there with Napoleon and whatever.
Probably. What concert would you want to see today that you some band you haven't seen? Or a person,
well,
or
I saw the Eagles, obviously the Beatles. Everyone would say that.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying right now,
this
year there's going to be concerts,
okay.
Right?
Probably. Oh, I would have missed it by a few years, but Steely Dan, I really regret not having seen them. I never had a chance. But Becker died 3 or 4 years ago. You never see that again.
So you're not going to see that.
I don't know if I have right now.
Well, by the way, side note, you know who's there here this summer?
Billy Idol, yeah.
No, the Billy Idol's coming, but a band that I like, I think you like, we haven't really talked in depth, but they're coming to headline Iceberg Alley, Sheepdogs.
Yeah, you told me.
We had to go see that.
Yeah, and Bare Naked Ladies, too. And
well, there you go. There's a couple. Right, course. Those are big. There's still
Bare Naked Ladies. I don't know if there's anyone out there right now that, certainly no one up and coming, because I'm older and I've set my ways. And I know to kind of mute a lot of the music out there today. I'm not a big lover of, you know. Rock and roll is pretty well dead.
You know what? It's
the
coming back, though, man.
The guys from Michigan. What's her name?
Greta Van Fleet.
That's the only one that I know that's AC/DC are gone. Well,
Green Day are still got a little bit of fire.
No, I would like to see them. I got to say, I'm glad you brought I would, yeah.
But we might. You know they're playing August 1st. I'm just waiting.
Where?
Toronto. I'd seen her.
Okay.
I had.
Oh, you've seen a lot more than me.
Yeah, but I haven't seen Green Day.
I envy. No, I
went
envy that.
Green Day were playing a festival when I was in Tri-Cities. Again, I'm there. It's an outdoor festival. I saw. Yeah, I guess, but I didn't really know who they were. They had the one song I knew, Basket Case. So I don't really consider myself having seen them walking around. You know,
if you saw them now. They played a whole night.
I saw them at. You know where I saw them? It was a. For anybody out in Northwest USA, it was the Gorge. It's outside of Portland.
Yeah,
it's a wild spot. Yeah, wild spot.
I've read about that.
Yeah. We saw Neil Young there as well. And Neil Young he's got an album with Pearl Jam, and the hit is Downtown.
Yeah.
It kind of got lost in the shuffle, too. I think it's called Mirror Ball is the album.
I have it.
Yeah, another real good rock album that gets lost in the shuffle. But anyway, so I'm just waiting to see when Shorzy's filming, because it's going to be sometime around then. We're not really sure.
Yeah.
And even then, if it's a Saturday and I'm not working and the boys know Dolo wants to go, a few of the boys, we're going to hit Green Day. So the odds are we're going to see them at the Budweiser stage, which is an unreal venue as well. Okay, Senior, I got to go soon.
Yeah.
I'm going to Winnipeg tomorrow.
Yeah. Been to Winnipeg lots of times. They were in our division, and they knocked us off in 5 games when we played them when they had Bobby Hall in the WHA.
You were there in the summer, too, weren't you? You played baseball there or no?
Not in Winnipeg. I played in in Brandon. I played in two places, Brandon, and I forget the second national junior, one senior national and one junior national. But I've been there. I played hockey in Winnipeg like a dozen times, 15 times or I know. Now, I've been there in a while, but they, you know, they were in our.
Yeah, so. I've been there a lot with ball hockey. Yeah. Someone asked me and I said, man, I think senior obviously was there in the WHA. So growing up, I remember when I was growing up, we were both Habs fans. Like I believe you were a bit like, cause I remember Chris Nyland and Bob Gaine, like watching a lot of those games. I think my grandfather on mom's side, like Bucky Norris, I think we used to watch Habs games. I think he was into it because I was really into the Habs.
He was, but he was Leaf.
He was Leaf. Okay. He was humoring me by. Yeah. Okay. So how far does that go back though? Like were you growing up?
Yeah, oh, for sure. It was even when I was growing up in a little town, Grand Falls, Newfoundland, it was basically all Maple Leaf, Montreal, even then. Few Boston, few Hawk, but basically Toronto, Montreal, even then.
And were you Montreal?
No, I would have been Leaf.
Really?
Yeah.
So why growing?
I got into the French culture in school. I started taking it, and I really enjoyed it. But up until then, because I was English, I basically went and cheered for. And a lot of people went with the Habs because they were winning a lot of cups. But so were the Leafs.
Yeah.
So were the Leafs, and the Leafs won their last one. I think was 67, but they won cups in the 50s. And
now, speaking of that, 67. Let's say since 1967, but before that, I find a lot of stats can be misconstrued. I hate how we kind of pass over that like it's nothing, because that era, like, it's not people's fault in the 20s that the rules were different. But baseball, you can kind of make a little bit of that because it stayed this, but the hockey was so different.
Yes.
Like that it's hard to compare Cyclone Taylor with Maurice Richard.
Yes,
but,
and you don't.
So let's say since 67.
Yes.
Given that Auston Matthews has 65 goals now, might get 70.
Yeah.
Where do you think he fits on the all-time Leafs? How, like, and he just got a Hart Trophy.
Goal
how many?
Scorer?
No, I don't mean stats. I mean, like, if you were going to rate right now, if you did a top 10 Maple Leafs ever, he'd have to be in the top 10.
Number one Leaf they always go to is a guy named Teeter Kennedy. And he gave it up fairly early, I think, but he won, I'm pretty sure, 4 or 5 Stanley Cups, captain. But he's the guy that they always say the Leaf was Teeter Kennedy. Keon, they mentioned Keon because Keon was on.
But I said now since 67 because.
67, I'm sorry. I'd say.
Teeter was before that.
Okay, yeah,
right?
You're right. He was in the 50s, 40s, 50s.
I mean, I guess you still, we can.
I'd say Keon.
Now.
He's the one Keon, go to.
Because we're going to add the 67 Stanley Cup. Because if not, you would have to pick Matthews, wouldn't you?
Matthews, without doubt, is the best goal scorer.
60 goals, then 70. And even those years, I looked at
but the one thing against his resume right now is
Cup. And at least final.
It's meaningful.
At least give me a final.
With
32 team league, I would say get into the final.
You want, but a cup on the resume, well, I didn't get 75 goals. I got 15 goals and 17 assists. 3 cups.
Well,
in the eyes of a hockey fan, cups.
The guy bringing me to Winnipeg tomorrow, three cups.
I'm looking at you and from the guy that got 72 goals, 575 goals, never got in a final or won a cup.
The guy bringing me out tomorrow, Mike Keane, 3 cups, 3 different teams.
Wow.
Now that's not hooking on to a dynasty.
That's
people trading for you at the deadline.
No question. That's value.
And getting you in. Yeah. And then he has 2 cup finals on top of that. Yeah, I know.
And could play, though. He could play.
And I watched some of his fights.
He could play. Keane was going to get you 20 to 25, 200 minutes in penalties.
Yeah, and his fights, man.
Points. Yeah.
And just total, yeah, like just, we got that. We were watching down in Binghamton in the room some old fights. He could really throw him. He's underrated. I forgot he was that tough.
And he'd fight, it didn't matter, Probert, any of them.
Yeah, Moose Jaw.
No one in the NHL, if they had their jitters, would want to fight Mike Keane.
No.
Because they knew they're going to get a few lumps on their face.
Dude.
Even if I know I'm going to beat him, he's going to land on
just a scrappy, and if the ref comes in and tie up, he's going to pull my hair and spit my eye.
Never gave up.
Never gave up.
No. But therein lay his value.
I think nowadays, like for me, with more and more and more teams, it's hard to define, but show me, like, Eric Lindros doesn't have a cup, but he got Philly into the final one year.
No question.
And he was MVP of the league.
I wouldn't put Matthews in front of Lindros. No.
But if Matthews doesn't get a cup, but he gets Toronto into the final this year, I think it's a new conversation that now it's
Matthews
legit that you could.
Matthews has a chance. He's only, what, 26?
Yeah, 25 maybe.
If he can win a couple, he's going to go down as the greatest Leaf ever. I don't care about Teeter Kennedy. I don't care back then. If he's scoring 60 to 70 goals and gets a couple of cups, Matthews is going down as the greatest Leaf ever.
Even if he gets one cup and does that, I think you could. Well, in a six-team league.
Sure. Two for sure.
Six-team league, man. You just like winning your division, right? The Leafs have won their division a few times.
Only two rounds.
Yeah, two rounds.
That's huge, too, right?
Hey, that's why, hey.
You're not tired. The injuries don't pile up.
One of the trivia questions that blew me away was who got the most all-time points for the Habs in the playoffs? We just did this up at the sports trivia. Now, I picked Guy Lafleur because there's more rounds.
Andre Richard played like 11 cups, so I'm going to say Andre Richard.
No, it's not. It's more obvious, but I still wouldn't have thought it because there's only six teams.
The most points
in the playoffs ever. And it was 160.
Six teams.
No. For the Montreal Canadiens, anybody. It could be Sako Koivu.
You know, Lafleur would have been a good guess. But
well, Lafleur, because he's going four rounds.
Yeah.
And they've got four or five cups during that time.
No, Andre Richard, a lot of times, was going, when they expanded to 16 teams, he was going.
Hey, that's why it's more impressive. Jean Béliveau played most of it in a six-team league. So he was only going two rounds every year. 162 games played.
You know what?
The fucking playoffs. That means every year you're going all the way.
Going through, for some reason, I'll go in, you know, quant hockey, and they'll give you. I looked at Béliveau first year in the league, and right now I'm finishing off a book called Scotty, written by Kent Dryden. He's going through the eight greatest teams ever, and he's playing one off against the other. He's going to come down to the winner. Okay. To the winner. Of the great first team, 51-52, Detroit Red Wings, Hal Delvecchio, Lindsay.
Imagine watching those guys playing against Montreal.
Against Montreal Canadiens, Richard, Béliveau, Geoffrion.
Imagine watching that.
Montreal are gone.
Harvey.
He picked Detroit because he had a better defense.
How about Ken Dryden? I didn't realize he wrote that book. So, Ken.
Yes.
People, if you're
really, really
another
right.
guy, man, unreal
well, a lawyer,
goalie,
you know,
retired early. Became a lawyer. Wasn't he a political figure in Canada for a bit?
I think he was.
I think for a little bit. But I met him one time senior at the alumni.
Yeah.
So early on when I would go to Montreal, I'd feel like weird about going to the alumni room because they're all like legends. He is from Toronto.
Yeah.
And he was there this particular weekend.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know,
I said
Gilbert Dion was down there, I think. And Gilbert was there. It's like, come on in. Gilbert's like, even though he's got a cup, he's like jovial. He like always, I hang out with him.
Yeah.
I'll go down. But like, it's kind of nerve wracking a little bit especially when Béliveau was alive and stuff. You go down there. Everybody in the alumni room. It's not like going to Columbus Blue Jackets alumni room, right? Oh. They're all like multiple cups. Like, you know, if you only got one cup, you're
that's
the
true.
So like, and then he just came over and he put his arm around me and he goes, Terry, he goes, once an NHLer, always an ex-NHLer.
Yeah.
Don't fucking worry about it. And I didn't know him from Adam. No. He could tell that I was a little bit, he might have heard me talking.
No, he obviously knew a bit about you to say that.
Well, and that book, he's got The Game, is one of my favorite.
Well, this one's Scotty when I finished. But I figured 51-52 against the 50-something Canadians, Detroit, he said, so one great team is gone. Now I'm going to the... He's got the Oilers.
And I bet you...
81 Oilers against someone. And it's going to come down to...
But I love it. I bet you he explains why and, like, it's so thorough.
Bowman is. Yeah, they'll give you the lineup sheet, the points, how old they were. And Scotty is examining it. And he said, you know, Montreal, then we had Doug Harvey. But he said Tom Johnson was a good skater. But after that, we had John Guy Talbot. And we had so-and-so. Detroit. Had Bob, Detroit had, he named them, I forget. Anyway, he said they had Hal, they had Lindsay, they had so-and-so, they had Sawchuk in the Nets, we had Plante, but he said, I'm giving it to Detroit. I figured for sure he's going to pick Montreal.
On that note, I got to take off, get Penny Lane now, and then I'll be doing the great Jason Greger show now on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So tonight I'm on at 6:30. This won't be released until after that, but just for future, for those of you listening that like the Jason Greger show, a lot of you are out in Edmonton. That's where it's based out of. So I'll be hosting his show Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 to 5 in Edmonton and sometimes 3 to 6, which is 6:30 to 9:30 here in Newfoundland. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you're downtown St. John's, you want to grab a beer, you just want to hang out, you want to watch some music, you want to hang out on George Street, why not? Check out Trinity Pub, TJ's Pub, Rob Roy Confusion, the Martini Bar, of course, Greensleeves Pub, and Bull and Barrel. If you're going to go for a bite to eat, why not do it at Merchant Tavern, Blue on Water, or Wedgwood Cafe. Now, Wedgwood Cafe is also in the East End. It does catering. Great spot to stop in for lunch. See Peter Wedgwood at Wedgwood Cafe. If you want to work out, you want strength and balance for the body and mind, look no further than Power Conditioning on Rope Walk Lane. Ryan Power, Power Conditioning. I'm living proof that he can do a lot with a little. And this guy was the fastest hockey player I've ever seen. And right now, and I'm not kidding, couldn't put the puck in the ocean from the wharf in junior, but he was an absolute bullet. And now he trains not only Alex Newhook, but Maggie Connors, who's got a shot at winning the first PWHL championship ever. She's on fire with the Toronto team. Good luck to Maggie. I'll try to get her on here, but I know she's busy and she's going into the playoff run. We'll get her on after the season. A good Newfoundlander making us proud. Also, you want to go to Mr. Lube. There's two locations here in St. John's, Newfoundland. One's on Torbay Road. The other's on Canmount Road. Live, laugh, lube. Chris Sparks. And lastly, but not leastly, Pitbull Pain Relief. Pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to pitbullpainrelief.com. See what all the fuss is about. Folks, True Hockey, take what's yours. Thank you to True Hockey and all you do for me. I'll be back in just a few days with more Tales with TR. Catch you guys on the rebound. Thanks for tuning in.